Hello, fellow humans, and happy election day. This is my DJ Posh, and this is my first show in a couple months. I took a little hiatus and went to Colorado Springs to cover the National Wheelchair Basketball Association. Had a great couple months there, and now I'm back in Southern California, and luckily I was able to get my show back. You guys are in for a very posh evening. Let's get right to it. I hope everyone out there voted, and by everyone out there, I mean the millions of listeners that I have right now. I know it's the primaries, and there's not too many important, of the propositions. I think there was a proposition on, putting a set time for when bills, start, I guess, and then for allocating transportation bills. Really, the only proposition I was a fan of was Prop 72 that did not raise property tax for people who want to put in rainwater recycling units on their homes, which I thought was pretty cool. But even that's not an earth-shattering bill proposition, whatever. But I don't know. It's just these things are really important just because a lot of the higher level, like when it does get to the bigger elections, especially presidential elections, Senate elections, Congress elections, things like that, they really take the data from these primaries and these lower level elections. And it's usually here that in these smaller elections that people could kind of differentiate themselves. Like you could be a Democrat but still support some things, maybe a bill that a Republican put forward. And since it's not a huge earth-shattering extreme proposition, it's kind of data to show people that hey, maybe the middle ground stuff is stuff that we like. And I mean, if you're an extremist, go extreme, I guess. Do you? But I don't know, it's probably good to give data a sort of moderate data just because it seems like the last couple elections we've had lately have been pretty one way or another. So, if you did vote, great job. I hope you wore your sticker proud. If you did not vote, go out and vote next time. It's really important and it's something that's really cool. I was talking to my parents, and because I usually do mail-in ballots, and my parents were in line to vote. And I was talking to them about how cool it is that, we can stand in line and go to vote without fear of the opposing party coming in with guns or someone attacking a voting booth area. And the sad truth is, in a lot of other countries, voting is a dangerous thing, whether it's a new thing or whether extremist factions are trying to manipulate the vote of the people. It's really dangerous in other parts of the world, and the fact that we can go as a community, wait in line in peace with our families. I saw a bunch of people brought their kids were playing on the lawn. It's a pretty beautiful thing. So, yeah, conclusion statement of that little rant. Please, 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 please go out and vote. It is so important. And the less you vote, the more extremists vote, because those people are always going to vote. And then every single election, we're going to have either far right or far left. And if that's your jam, then perfect. If you didn't vote in the last presidential election because you hated both candidates, it's things like this that'll stop us from having kind of, I don't know, the parties kind of groom their candidates based on the data they get on these elections. So, yeah, go vote, please. All right, got that out of the way. Today, oh, I also did not explain the opening song of today's show. I'm still thinking about whether or not I want to make it the opening of every one of my show, but for those of you who are listening pretty intently and are into the whole music scene, movie scene, that was the beginning trailer or the beginning of the trailer for Bohemian Rhapsody, which I have been pretty excited for a while now, because I've always said Freddie Mercury is not only one of my favorite vocalists, but in my opinion, and my opinion is not much on these matters because I have no musical ear at all, but I don't know, I just think Freddie Mercury had one of the most amazing ranges of any vocalists ever. You listen to just all his different kinds of songs. This guy did opera. That guy did classic rock and roll. This guy, Bohemian Rhapsody, it goes from one place to another, and it's all the same lead singer. It's insane. So yeah, in honor of Bohemian Rhapsody, today's musical interludes will be filled with music from Queen, which I've always been a pretty big fan of. So I'm glad I'll get to play some of my favorite songs for you guys. Hopefully you guys are Queen fans as well. But all that aside, go vote. Queen is a cool band. Bohemian Rhapsody looks chill. Let's get to the business that, if you are listening, why you probably tuned in. And that is to talk some basketball. And obviously, we cannot talk basketball without first discussing the greatest franchise in the history of the sport, the Los Angeles Lakers. And for those of you who don't know KXSC, we broadcast out of USC, and USC is in downtown Los Angeles, literally walking distance from Staples Center. So it's pretty cool that the school has such a close proximity to the arena of the greatest team in the NBA. Overall, this season, I don't know. It's after 5 years of the Jim Buss era. Oh man, just thinking about it makes me want to cry. But after 5 years of the Jim Buss era, we finally are entering the Magic era. And Magic and Rob Pelinka, the president and GM of the team, their first offseason was basically let's try to give Laker fans hope and let's try to fix the problems of Jim Buss. So last offseason, obviously the biggest move that we made, or I guess the two tandem moves, was trading D'Angelo Russell and Timofey Mozgov to get rid of Timofey Mozgov's contract and drafting Lonzo Ball. So basically we told D'Angelo Russell, thanks for your time, we don't need you anymore. But and I mean, it wasn't necessarily because they didn't want D'Angelo Russell, but we got rid of Timofey Mozgov, which was one of the worst signings. Like, still to this day, I'll talk to people about the Jim Buss era, and there's just no more perfect of an example of the Jim Buss era than the opening moments of the offseason 2 years ago, the year with the big cap spike. And literally in the first minute, Lakers offered Timofey Mozgov a giant contract, and then a few hours later, Luol Deng gets a giant contract. And we're still dealing with the repercussions of the Luol Deng contract, because, oh my God, we have cap space now. If we didn't have Luol Deng, good heavens, would we be in a good position? But I gotta say, getting rid of Timofey Mozgov was a big move. So when Magic and Rob first came in, cool. You know, try to fix some of our cap situations, try to get us prepared for the future. Let's work on this young core. And that's basically what this season was. We didn't really have a superstar, so this season was basically get our young core ready. And before the season started, our young core was meant to be what's their names? Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Julius Randle. And then out of nowhere, Kyle Kuzma came and just blew the socks off of everyone, gets full first team all rookie, which I find it hilarious that Kuzma gives Lonzo Ball shit all the time. And don't worry, it's after 10 o'clock, so curse words are okay. He just reams Lonzo Ball on Instagram all the time. And then you got him getting first team all NBA or first team all rookie. And Lonzo getting second team all rookie. So I think he's gonna have that over Lonzo all day, every day. So this year is kind of, we have the cap space, and we are one of five teams that have cap space. And I actually brought it up. It looks like the only five teams in the league as of right now, obviously other teams can make trades and stuff to get more cap space, but it seems like right now the only teams that are expected to have cap space in the offseason are the Atlanta Hawks, Chicago Bulls, Dallas Mavericks, Indiana Pacers, and Los Angeles Lakers. And the Lakers have enough cap space for two max contracts. And honestly, the only team I'm really afraid of maybe taking a free agent from us is the Indiana Pacers, because obviously they took the Cavs to seven games. I think they could have beaten any other Eastern Conference team. But then again, I thought the Toronto Raptors could beat any Eastern Conference team, and we saw how that turned out. But overall, the Lakers are in a really, really good position this offseason to sign some top guys. And later on in the show, I'll go over all the free agents and kind of where I expect them to go and stuff. But In terms of the big names, the Lakers can at least get a meeting. And one cool thing about Magic is he's not like other team presidents or other GMs. He is for sure one of the top five players in the history of the game. Potentially top four, potentially top three. I mean, and that let's say comfortably top five. This guy is a legend. Any player gets a call from Magic Johnson, you're gonna at least give him a meeting. You don't have one of the greatest players, one of the greatest personalities of all time, give you a call, and you don't even give them a meeting. So at least Magic gives us that. At least he gets us the foot in the door. And then we've all seen Magic smile, that million-dollar smile. Oh my God, like, no way. This might be Laker homerism, but you can't say no to that smile. So this season, and Rob Pelinka has shown he is a sharp mother effer. I like Rob Pelinka a lot. So it just seems like last season they did their job. They got at least half of the horrible contracts off. And then when I say they, I mean Magic and Rob. They set up this cap space for this season for all the top free agents, and now it just seems like it's there for the taking. The Lakers can reestablish dominance, can take the throne, can show other franchises that, hey, you may have gotten lucky and have the greatest player of all time grow up near you in Akron, Ohio. You may have gotten super lucky and have Jerry West stop you from trading Klay Thompson for Kevin Love, and have David Lee get hurt for Draymond Green to start, and then have KD want to join the team on the year of the cap spike where they could all of a sudden afford another player. But if we're going true franchise, true king of kings, it is the Lakers. And this is the season for them to do it. This is the offseason for them to do it. And one way I got it, and let me just preface, this is extremely, extremely unrealistic. But what are Laker fans, if not slightly unrealistic sometimes? This is my dream scenario for the offseason. Again, dream scenario, not very realistic, but Lonzo Ball at the point guard, I'm fine with. We signed PG-13. Paul George is coming to the Lakers. He is the one. There are rumors. Every superstar is rumored to go to the Lakers at some point in their free agency. Paul George, this has been a known fact all season. Before he came, he told to the Oklahoma City Thunder, he told every team, "Hey, I'm coming to the Lakers." You have I'm trying to think of who the player was. It wasn't Gary Harris, but oh, J.J. Redick. You had J.J. Redick on the Bill Simmons podcast, just being like, "Hey, I hope." Actually, was it J.J. Redick? I don't remember. But it was some player on a podcast who was like, "Hey, Paul George is going to the Lakers. Good for him. Going to L.A. Enjoy the sun." It is very, very, very likely that Paul George joins the Lakers. So that one I think is going to happen. Then the Lakers call up the Spurs and offer Brandon Ingram, who I love, I think is phenomenal, and I would love to keep him, but in this case, I'll trade him. Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma, two studs for Kawhi Leonard. I don't know if the money matches up. Maybe we'd have to give Luol Deng to make the money work. I don't know. I haven't done the trade machine yet. But why wouldn't the Spurs do that? Put Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma with LaMarcus Aldridge, fit him in the system with Pop. Ooh, baby. If they're gonna lose Kawhi Leonard, I mean, the Clippers are in the running to get him. They're gonna give what? Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, Milos Teodosic. Like, who are the Clippers gonna offer that are anywhere near as good as Brandon Ingram or have the ceiling as same ceiling as Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma, even with their 12 and 13 pick? Pop has also said he'd never trade with the Lakers, but let's throw that to the wind. Lakers trade Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma for Kawhi Leonard. Lakers get a meeting with LeBron James shortly after. LeBron says, "Ooh, you got Paul George, you got Kawhi Leonard. This is interesting." Sits down with Magic. Magic says, "Hey, I was the LeBron before you. Let me complete your legacy. Win a championship with the greatest franchise ever. Have your name in the rafters." I don't know if you Los Angelinos have seen it, but who's the Persian Emrani? something Imrani, Jacob Imrani, he's putting up billboards all around saying like, LeBron, you got to come. The King of Kings has to come to the City of Angels. Your jersey will be in the rafters. I love Jacob Imrani. He is just going hard at the billboard pitches to LeBron. But we got a call with LeBron. DeMarcus Cousins gets no love from the NBA. New Orleans offers him 3 years, $20 million. Dallas offers him 5 years, $40 million. He's just not getting offers he likes. Lakers call him up. Hey, DeMarcus. Hey, Boogie. How would you like to play with LeBron James, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Lonzo Ball for 1 year? Win a championship, establish your dominance inside with zero pressure. If he's on that team, zero pressure for Cousins to come back early, to perform at a ridiculous rate. Like, you can't expect him to come back at the same level, at least immediately, as he was right before he got injured. Cousins comes in on a minimum salary. So you end up having Lonzo Ball, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, DeMarcus Cousins as a starting lineup. This is absolute baloney, malarkey, whatever you want to say. Not going to happen. But if I were to have a dream or a wish, and I wasn't allowed to wish for Kate Upton to be in love with me, 100% this would be my wish. Here's what I think is going to happen this offseason, though. Like I said, Paul George, he's coming. We got a couple Lakers this year. The Lakers free agents are Julius Randle, who's a restricted free agent, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Brook Lopez, and IT. IT, if he wants to come off the bench for a what's it called? A mid-level exception, whatever. I'm down to have him. The guy's got grit. When he was on the Lakers, they had a lot more fight in them. It just seemed like we were just a grittier team with IT on the squad. So if he wants to come back, cool. I don't think so. I think some team is going to offer him money. What team that is, I'm not sure. Maybe the Houston Rockets, if they strike out with other free agents, maybe a team like Boston. Honestly, like if Boston loses Terry Rozier, hey, IT, you want to come and fill that spot? Who knows? IT, I think, is out. KCP is a player that I think would fit well next to Paul George, but I think he's also going to require too much money. And then obviously, Julius Randle. This is the one that I feel like divides Laker fans the most, the future of Julius Randle. And the one thing I keep going back to, because this guy played phenomenally last season, at the end of last season. His D was on point. He was pushing the ball up. Every lineup with him was just succeeding like no other. He was hustling for rebounds. He just seemed to bring energy to whatever lineup he was in. He is really, really good. Don't let anything else I say after this dissuade or move from the fact that I think he's very, very good. I don't see him on a championship starting lineup. I don't see Julius Randle in the championship matching up against a LeBron James, a Draymond Green. He can kill it in the regular season. He can bully people. This guy, Bully Ball, he's one of the best at it. But when teams start to focus in on you, and you don't have a jump shot, and your defense is getting better, but you're at one of the toughest positions. He's a small power forward, so he has to be guarding guys like Kevin Durant. He has to be guarding guys like LeBron James. He has to be guarding guys like, who else is out there that's good? I mean, not James Harden. Wow, I'm drawing a blank. Jason Tatum. God, I hate how good Jason Tatum is, but that's something for another day. I don't see Randle as that guy. So I think let Randle go to a Dallas, let Randle go to a San Antonio, let him make money, let him go to an Atlanta. I don't think in terms of what the Lakers want to do and what the Lakers want to become, he becomes worth it. Brook Lopez is the guy I would keep. Of all our free agents, Brook Lopez is the guy I'll keep. I don't think Luke Walton used him well to start the season, but towards the end of the season, when it wasn't just, okay, Brook Lopez, shoot every spot-up three-point shot you have, it was, okay, you can pump and drive in and pass out if you don't have a shot. And once we started doing that, Brolo was doing well. I mean, sure, some games he was playing 25 minutes and not playing too much. And maybe even in the finals, he wouldn't play that much. But a team needs a center that they can rely on when they need a big man. And even though Brook Lopez's rebounds aren't that great, I like that he can space the floor. And if we could get him on a cheap salary, he's better than a lot of other centers that we could get. Nerlens Noel is one of those centers that I've always been semi-infatuated with, but I don't know, hearing all the things, especially if you guys haven't read the Ringer report on Brian Colangelo's Twitter thing, 100% go and read it as soon as possible. But reading the tweets that allegedly Brian Colangelo sent out about Nerlens Noel being a, and this is quotes, I don't know him obviously, but being a quote, selfish punk, Rick Carlisle absolutely hating him. It just seems like Nerlens Noel is really good, but might not be worth the trouble. Whereas Brolo, Brook Lopez, seems like he's a good offensive center. He can get us buckets. And if Paul George is the only guy that we get in terms of big free agents, solid second or third option to alleviate kind of the offensive load for people. So my realistic situation is we re-sign Paul George, we let Randall walk, we let KCP walk, and there's a solid chance we re-sign Brook Lopez. And then at that point, it's just having Paul George being the alpha and our young guys developing. And that's the beauty of our team. Even if we don't get the big free agents, Brandon Ingram's going to be a star. Kuzma is basically already a star. Lonzo Ball is a stud beyond words. I know a lot of people disagree with that, but they're stupid. And Lonzo Ball is going to prove all the haters wrong. He's going to... I hope he averages a triple-double one day. He can do it. But, man, I would just love the haters. Everyone just hates on him because he scores like 12 points a game. But that's not... He's not a scorer. So, if we're able to do all that, I think a starting lineup of Lonzo Ball, Paul George, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and Brook Lopez is one that can really give teams trouble and kind of move the Lakers away from this Sacramento Kings, Dallas Mavericks, and recently Atlanta Hawks tier of just kind of being a joke. Where if we can come out and be like, hey, our young guys, they're studs. Lonzo's going into his second year. Kuzma's going into his second year. Ingram's going into his fourth year. These guys can make a huge difference. And with an alpha like Paul George on the team to kind of just take the wheel and say, follow me and let's win some games, I think it could work. And I'm really excited. I'm really excited for this offseason in general. I know probably every basketball podcast you listen to will say the same thing, but I think a lot of crazy moves are going to be made just because we're still dealing with the ramifications of 2 years ago when the cap spike, like the players decided to have all the money go in at once instead of smooth it over a few years. So there were a lot of ridiculous contracts now, and for this season and maybe next offseason, and I think the offseason after that will be done, but teams will have to work around these ridiculous contracts that they signed 2 years ago. So this year, there will be a lot of moves, I think. So, watch out for the Lakers, man. I think they're a-coming. I'm going to take a short break and play some Queen music for you guys. Hopefully, you enjoy it, and I will be back.
Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come, easy go. Little high, little low. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me. just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, carry on. Is it nothing really matters? My time has come, sent shivers down my spine, body's aching all the time. Goodbye, everybody, I've got to go. Gotta leave you all behind and face the truth.
Will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo,
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 Galileo Figaro.
Oh, I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah,
no, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah,
we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah,
we will not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Let me go!
No, 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 no.
Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia!
Mamma mia, let me go!
Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. For me.
Oh, baby.
shot on video.
Don't stop me. supersonic man out of you.
Stop me now.
I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
Don't stop me now.
If you want to have a good time,
Stop Me Now by Queen. It is impossible to listen to that song and not move a little bit in some way, and in one way, shape, or form, dance. God, I love that song so much, and I would highly recommend, if you guys have any free time, to watch Paul Rudd's rendition of Don't Stop Me Now during the lip sync battle on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. It is absolutely phenomenal, and it sealed the deal with Paul Rudd being one of my favorite actors of all time. And when I say one of, I mean like top 20. But it definitely made me like him a lot more. Yeah, so just want to remind everyone out there that you're listening to KXSC Los Angeles. You can listen to us online at kxsc.org, on the airwaves at 1560 AM, and on your smartphone on the TuneIn Radio app. We are a service of the University of Southern California. And I also want to let you know that KXSC is currently fundraising for Spring 2018. I just realized that that's an old thing, and I don't need to read that. Isn't it nice when you realize that the man doesn't have as much control over you as they'd like to think? Just kidding, they do. So before I leave, I'm going to end the show off with another set of Queen, but obviously, everyone knows it. It's the NBA Finals. And the reason why I didn't start with it, and I think the reason or something that sports media in general and specifically NBA media, they're just having a hard time with this championship because people are just bored of it. How many storylines can you make out of the two teams facing each other every single year for the last 4 years? And the last 3 years, or the last 2 years, it's just 100% the Warriors are going to win. I know everyone says, oh, you know, the owners always screw over the players, so the players don't, it's like players have to treat as business too. And I understand KD's life is way better in San Francisco. He's working in Silicon Valley. He's making so much side money now that he might even surpass LeBron soon in terms of his money. He's got some smart business partners, but it ruined the intrigue. And I know people will say, what about the early 2000s Lakers with a prime Shaq and Kobe that were impossible to beat? And that's true, but at least those two came up together and won together. And it was the same with any other team. LeBron joined D-Wade and Chris Bosh and they won together. Before Durant joined the Warriors, everyone was like, oh my God, the Warriors are going to be in contention for the finals every single year. And then you add the second best player in the NBA. Like, just kind of a poopy move. It made me like Durant less, but like I said, just another year of ugh, Warriors, Cavs. But, I mean, that's what we were given. I guess let's be thankful that the greatest player of all time is playing against the greatest team of all time. Cool. But one trend I have been seeing in the playoffs is, and especially in the Warriors-Rockets and Warriors-Cavs series, it is that the officials are struggling big time. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, it's rigged. It was rigged once before. It could be rigged again, in reference to when the Lakers beat the Kings in 2002. I don't think so. I don't think the NBA, sure, they might be getting better at it, but I don't think the NBA is messing around with fixing games anymore. I don't see it. A problem is, though, one problem is that a lot of the best refs are gone. whether they've retired, whether, I forget his name, but one guy came to work for the NBA office to kind of be their head of officiating. And honestly, I don't blame him. Like, nice cushy office job versus 20,000 people screaming that they're going to murder you and hate everything about you every single night. Or every single night you go to work, it's kind of hard. But in reality, we're in this kind of flux. It's kind of like when Saturday Night Live has a mass exodus of their good people. And we had this a few years ago. A mass exodus of top guys, guys like Andy Samberg, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Seth Meyers, all these guys. And it's kind of the changing of the guard. And that's kind of what's happened here, because there's the best refs are all gone, and now you have these, they're good refs, they officiate, I mean, they're not horrible, but they're making just so many mistakes, and I feel bad for them, because honestly, it's, reffing is extremely difficult. You have to have your eye on 30 different things at once, and it's really impossible. And I think people do judge the refs more than they should, but when coaches, players, other refs, the NBA office, NBA media, that's, and trusted sources that have been around for 20 plus years, when they are all saying that the mistakes that are being made are ticky-tack mistakes that should not be made, there's a problem. And I think the NBA has no choice but to just grit their teeth for the next 2-3 years and just hope that of this new wave of refs, there's a couple guys that can establish themselves as alphas. And those guys that, like, for example, after game one, they wanted to make sure, the NBA, like, the refs really messed up game one. And the NBA wanted to put their alpha team for game two, but who is the alpha team? Is it, I don't think the brothers, their last name is Brothers, I don't think they're around anymore. Cassidy's gone. Like, a lot of these top refs are gone, and there's just no alphas that when the league is in a situation where people are accusing it of rigging games, there's not that one stable figure like, hey, you're going to go into a game where the home crowd is going to be screaming bloody murder, and you need to keep a cool head. The NBA doesn't have that right now. And it kind of hurts the game. Like, it really sucks to watch a game. Like, I'll come out and say, I think the Rockets should have won that game, but there was just, or their game seven. But when call after call after call goes against you, you're going to fold after a while. Like, you just lose your heart after that. But I don't know. And then another thing I've been hearing a lot is, when is this Warriors dynasty going to end? The Warriors dynasty shouldn't have even... The Warriors dynasty with Kevin Durant shouldn't have even existed. The way that it happened was 2 years ago, the TV deals that the NBA got were way more than anyone expected. So there was a lot of money that the league was making, and the players wanted to see that money ASAP. But the league was like, hey, let's smooth it out and raise team salary caps gradually by a certain percentage each year. And the players... And to be fair, the players did this because owners have been screwing them over for years, or decades even. The players were like, no, give us our money now. So it created this vacuum where every single team, like, I listed 5 teams that have cap space this summer. Almost every single team had cap space that year. So teams were just throwing around money. You had Bismack Biyombo making $17 million a year. You have Serge Ibaka making like $20 million a year. And the Warriors, who had Steph Curry on a really good deal, had Draymond Green, I believe, on his rookie contract still. Not rookie contract, but like on a cheaper contract still. And they were just able to sign Kevin Durant. But Klay Thompson is a free agent after next season, and Draymond Green is a free agent in 2 seasons. And Klay Thompson is eligible for an extension this year. So there's going to be some spicy stuff happening. And there's also a designated player exception that teams can give to players that they drafted after their, like, 10th season or some certain amount. And both Draymond Green and Klay Thompson are eligible for that extension. So are one of them out of there? Even without one of them, the Warriors are still amazing. But the one X factor is if Klay Thompson is just like, F it, I'm making China shoe money right now. I'm a rich guy as is. Maybe I don't need to make as much money, even if the Lakers were to offer him all the money in the world, which is a movie. I don't know if it was any good, but that's neither here nor there. But what I'm saying is I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I think next season the team's obviously staying together, and then when Draymond Green is up for an extension and when Klay Thompson is a free agent, there's going to be some spicy stuff going on. And like I said, KD's making a lot of side money, so maybe he takes less money and allows for the team to still be good, but I don't know, man. I'm excited for this team to hopefully break up soon because I am so tired of it. And I liked the Warriors before KD got there, but now that he's on the team, it's just not fun anymore. And I think it's going to be a sweep. I mean, I know that's LeBron James playing out of his mind, and there's two games coming up in the Cleveland, but the Warriors just seem to be playing at 60%, and if they really want to hit 100 in Cleveland, there's nothing Cleveland can do. And speaking of LeBron and Cleveland, I know every podcast is trying to take a, every sports media person, radio person, podcast person, writer is trying to take a stance one way or another. LeBron James is the greatest player of all time. Can we please stop fighting about this? There are so many other things to fight about. LeBron James is just the greatest of all time. You cannot watch what he is doing with a team of bums. And I'm sorry, but other than Kevin Love and sometimes George Hill, the team is basically full of bums. Like when Kyle Korver, when you're relying on 38-year-old, is he 38? This is horrible radio, but I'm going to look up his age. Kyle Korver age. I'm pretty sure he's 38. 37 years old. When you're relying on 37-year-old Kyle Korver to get you 15 points in order to stay in a game, you got some problems, man. There is just... And the fact that LeBron just went team through team through team. And I know the East is garbage, but LeBron basically put the team on his back, and the only reason they're having a chance against the Warriors is because he is the greatest player of all time. And Jordan was good, but like, come on. It's just the evolution of the game, the evolution of how players train. We know athletes know so much more about their bodies than previous athletes did. LeBron James is, I'm pretty sure he is just putting himself in a cryo chamber to keep himself as fresh as possible every single night, going to bed at 7. Michael Jordan, before playoff games, would spend all night drinking, all night playing cards, all night smoking cigars, and he still killed it. He still was the greatest of all time at that time, but I don't know. It's time now that we all just admit LeBron James is the greatest player of all time. And it's just sad. Like, he's got players like J.R. Smith, Jeff Green, Jordan Clarkson, who, like, I used to really like Jordan Clarkson, and now I'm just embarrassed that he was ever on the Lakers, but, or that I ever had, like, faith in him. And just one final thing. I think last year there was this talk of who's better between KD and LeBron. I think LeBron put that to rest. I don't know if it's just KD is taking more of a backseat because he's trying to get his teammates more involved and integrate in that more, but LeBron James is really showing how much better he is than KD. And it just seems like this season, Steph is more of the alpha, the more chippy guy. He's getting in the face of Kendrick Perkins. He's getting in the face of LeBron James. And I think this is more Steph's year, but for real, I think LeBron James really showed that he's better than KD, best in the world, best of all time. And I'll leave it at that. I'm going to play a few more Queen songs before I head out, but it's been a great first show back. Apologies for all the ums and the pauses and the overall amateurishness of today's episode. It's been a while since I've been back. But this summer, I'm going to have a lot of guests coming. Hopefully, my dad. I got a lot of requests to bring my dad back on the show. Definitely going to try to do that. Going to try to get people of different expertises, just give more of an all-around show. But I'm definitely going to be following the off-season, the moves that are made, what the moves mean. So be sure to tune in next week and all the weeks following that this summer. You guys have been great. It's always a pleasure getting to hang out with you for an hour from the studio, and enjoy a few more Queen songs. See y'all.
Down the street with the brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beast, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one done. Another one bites the dust, yeah. Hey, gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust. How do you think I'm gonna get along without you when you're gone? You took me for everything that I had and kicked me out of my own. Are you happy? Are you satisfied? How long can you stand the heat? Every time I have a bullet to the sound of the beat. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, I'm gonna get to do. Another one bites the dust. Hey! Another one bites the dust.
what you want.